Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have a special guest, Kira Andrea. And when you come and you listen every Saturday morning, or maybe those of you just tuning in, and you come to Women Made New here, I want you to always leave and know that it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, that all that matters now is where you go from here. And maybe last night, some things happened. Maybe you woke up this morning and thought, oh, why did I do that? I understand. And I've been there. I've done that. I know. But it's never too late to start over. And God's love, His mercy is waiting for you. And you are not too far gone to receive that. And nothing keeps you shackled and chained to your sin except you. And just know that today's Saturday and you can start over. But we're going to get more into that in the show with Kira Andrea. But before we do that, we are going to get some advice from O Maria, that it doesn't matter how far you are or what darkness you may be in, but that really Jesus can get you through anything. So without further ado, here she is, and then we will get right to our guest. God bless.
Immaculate Heart of Mary, may you triumph in my life. Hello there, O Maria, your true beauty coach, here again to share with you a little bit of encouragement this beautiful day. And this encouragement is on suffering. At times we go through such heavy, dark, desolate seasons in our lives, and we think that God may be angry with us, may have abandoned us, may have forgotten us, may be punishing us, and the list goes on in what we may think. But I am here today to remind you of the truth that God will never abandon His own, that God is intimately aware of all that we experience, and that He carries us in the palm of His hands, especially when it's hardest for us to function. And so how will I sum all of this up as to this truth? I would say three words, and that is, call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Whenever you are afraid or in desolation or fearful or anxious or stressed or overwhelmed, or regretful, or feeling guilty, or ashamed, or sad, or lonely, or a combination of all of the above, call on Jesus. Call on His holy name. Even if it's hard to pray, call on Jesus. And I truly believe that this is a secret sauce to growing in Godfidence. Calling on the name of the one by whose precious blood we were saved, in whose sacred heart we are nestled, in whose body, blood, soul, divinity we are united in the most holy Eucharist. Call on Jesus. He is intimately aware of all that you go through, and may your remembrance of Him make you new again. For more encouragement like this, you may visit beautyunbound.tv to get practical tools for growing in Godfidence. I remain yours truly, O Maria. May God bless you.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today we have Kira Andrea. Thank you for being here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
I have come across you several times and you pop up in my feed on Instagram. That's where I first heard about you. And I didn't know much about you, but you kept popping up and even on different people's pages that maybe I would follow or that I work with. And a lot of people, you become very well known over time. So I want you to just tell my listeners who you are, what your ministry is, and we're just going to dive right into your story.
Well, so my husband and I have been playing music together since we were kids, and this ministry sort of developed from that. And we never planned on doing music in the Catholic sphere, but that's where we ended up through God's God's grace and God's plan for us, and surrendering to Him that led us to this place. And then we started doing ministry post. I just wanted a place to post things. I wanted a place to post the music we were writing, a place to share with people. And I started posting on Instagram about, I guess, a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And it sort of surprised me that it started taking off. And when we began, the key for us was the Eucharist and Mary. And we wanted those two pillars to be the forefront of everything that we do. And we wanted to be really boldly Catholic. And that's kind of what we've done so far.
Wow, that is beautiful. And the fact that you wanted those two things that really scare a lot of people and they kind of hinder away, especially if they want to get things out there. And they don't really touch on that holy and that sacred because they know that's not what the world wants, right? And they, right. A lot of the times they get rejected. And so they kind of steer away from that. But it seems like God has really blessed everything that you're doing because you have cling to that holy and that sacred, and you've honored Him so much in what you're doing.
Well, I hope that that's what we're doing. That's our goal. That's what we want to do. And I think it's crazy because we come from the secular side. We come from writing music for years and having songs in film and TV and stuff like that. That was totally secular. And our dream was always to make it big in the music industry and all that. And now, and a lot of that can be very selfish. It can be very, it's all about me. It's my face. It's my song. It's my thing. And what we like to do now, it's about the face of Jesus, you know, and that's what I want to bring to people. And it's funny because that was the first real for me that kind of went viral was just the face of Jesus and talking about the devotion to His face. And it was crazy because it's like looking at this thing go off and I'm like, it's in the millions now. I'm like, this is insane. I'm like, and that's God. That's God taking something. He can do something amazing, you know, with us. He can use us in amazing ways. So that's what I just hope to do.
You know, it's interesting. It was the face of Jesus that was almost that launching pad where it's just like, oh my goodness, what is happening right now? Right. And I think it's so hard for people to really grasp the face of Jesus, but really grasp it. And there's beautiful paintings and imageries and crucifixes, but to really contemplate the face of Jesus and behold His face. He had that human face. He had the nose and the beard. He had the whole thing. And it's just hard to even kind of grasp what that look like. And we have imagery to do that, but to have that devotion and to really just dive into that is really beautiful. And it's something so opposite of the world, right? And people don't take the time to do that or even really to think of it. We look at a crucifix or we look at a picture, but we really don't take time to contemplate what He looked like and what it would actually look like for Him to look at you. I think I'd be a little like, don't look at me, you know?
Yes.
I think Everybody has that moment of like, oh my gosh, it would be too much. No, thank you. You know, they'd be kind of scared, but it's coming for everyone. Everyone's going to get looked at straight in the eyes, I feel, by the beautiful eyes of Jesus at some point in their life. So you said you started writing music with your husband when you were kids. How old were you? When did that start? How did you meet him?
So we we're both cradle Catholics. We both attended Catholic schools together, I think since almost preschool.
Wow.
And then we were in the same school, and about, I'd say, sixth grade, I noticed that he played guitar and he was playing the school dances with his band. And I really wanted to join the band because I had just realized that I liked to sing. And it was a funny story. One time, they were playing one of these dances and their lead singer got really shy and ran off the stage halfway through a song. And I was sitting there thinking like, I'll do that. I can do that.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just all about it. Plus, I had a crush on my husband, so that didn't help. And I wanted to join the band. We were on a trip to Washington, D.C. in eighth grade when my friends forced me to sing on the bus in front of everybody. So I did. I went up and I sang a song on the microphone in the bus. And they all told my husband, who was on the other bus, and he was afterwards said, okay, well, do you want to audition for the band? And we were in the parking lot of the school. And I said, okay. And then he said, well, why don't you sing right now? So I did. And then he said, why don't you come to our next band practice? And that's kind of how it started. But all the way through high school, we had a band together and we started taking it very seriously. We really had this goal of making it. I don't know what we thought that was back in the day, I guess, filling stadiums and things like that.
Yeah.
But that was where it started. And writing songs was really important to us, too, because we knew you have to write your own songs if you're going to get out there. And quickly that turned into more of a serious thing in college. We kind of he was a kicker on the football team and he gave that up to do focus on music, and he could have kicked in college, but that would have separated us. So we stayed together. Our relationship was then there forming. And then the music sort of was the driving force. And from that point on, we in college, we were like the straight A, you know, straight and narrow kind of kids. Like we were not going to mess around. Everything we did had to be 100%. And, but at that time we had written a song that got attention from major labels. And so we got flown out to LA and the whole nine yards and the red carpet treatment, you know, and wow. The wining and dining and all that. And at 19, at this point, we're 19. That was a lot. And we were not prepared for that. And definitely not really fully living our faith. It was mass every Sunday, because our parents made us, even when we were in school and college, they were like, no, you have to. My parents would come pick me up from school and make me go to mass, which I now appreciate a lot more than I did back then. And so we went out, we showcased for this label and we had a deal. It ended up all falling through. But at that point we were all in and we were like, we're dropping out of school. We're going to do this. We're going to pursue this 100%. So wow. The straight and narrow kiddos who were always, you know, straight A students dropped out of college to pursue music and moved out to LA and with not enough money to survive for a month out there. And our parents were like, you guys are crazy, but they did support us. They were very supportive regardless. But we moved out to LA and one of our songs was covered by Ashley Simpson. So that got released on TRL and MTV and all that.
Wow.
Which was like a whirlwind, but it got us out there with enough to stay for a little bit and record more, kept recording music. And from there, our first song that we ever wrote that was really more of like a prayer was the first song that kind of took off for us. It was called Courages. And it was just like a prayer. I wrote it in my parents' basement. It was like a lightning storm going on and thunder. And it was almost like talking to God and just asking him, you know, like giving him a little bit of rain over my life, a little more control, like handing it over. And so that's kind of where it all started. And from there, I guess we just kept going. We didn't want to give up.
Again, I am talking with Kira Andrea here, and she is with Mercy Divine Ministries and Music. And I have a question in regards to how your, who's your husband now, discerned not to stay a football kicker, because there is a lot of kids discerning their futures right now and discerning where they're going to college. Just they're going to be going to college already. They've decided they're graduating and there's a lot of unknowns and some of them are leaving their boyfriends or girlfriends, or they're discerning that vocation that they're scared to death of, you know, like there's a lot happening in that age group right now. And how did he discern at that time and you discern that he would leave football, that he would come and be with you, because that was like a very precise road that he chose, right?
Yeah,
at a young age as well.
Yeah, it was difficult. I know that both of us could have gone far away for school, and he could have taken, he had a team that really wanted him in that position. And I know that was a struggle that he was going through, but we both just had such a passion and love for music. And it was such a shared passion that, and I think we were very, we started dating very young. So, you know, in high school and, I was pretty gung-ho. I was like, I know I'm going to marry this guy. I knew it. I was ready to get married probably when I was 18, but he was a lot farther behind that. So as it can happen with guys. But I think the discernment was knowing, and the big thing was knowing that if we separated and I went and did musical theater, you know, maybe farther away, and if he did kicking, even if we were just separated by an hour, it would be enough to probably stop our relationship and probably end the music dream. So I think that's what did it. But I do know it was a struggle, and I know it's really hard. Young people having to decide where they want to go, especially if they have several options, you know, that are good, several good options to pursue. So I'm really thankful that it happened this way, because I don't know where we would be, or if we would have stayed together, if he had gone and gone to a different college.
And you were on the straight and narrow, and you were doing what you were supposed to and living your Catholic faith. And then slowly it seemed like, and it was very like a slow process of just almost being seduced by the music, right? And getting out there. And the devil will do that in different ways in our lives, but it's so subtle. And he feeds us these half-truths that are so easy to kind of take and allow us to get fed by those lies, right? And to justify a lot of things. So those pitfalls that you had, can you kind of just dive into that a little bit, and just to kind of, so the listeners can kind of prepare themselves of maybe pitfalls that they have in their own lives that they're not recognizing right now, because there's that seduction of that lie that they're believing, of thinking, oh, we can handle this, right?
Yeah, we definitely fell into a lot of that. I think we were really living a double life, is what I would say. We were singing in the choir on Sundays. We were playing with a choir out, even in Los Angeles when we moved out there. There was a parish close to us in Woodland Hills that we joined, and the people were amazing, and we played every weekend with them. But we were not really living our faith. We thought we were fine. We thought we were doing everything we needed to do. It was just like check a box, you know, oh, I went to Mass, I'm good. And then we were, you know, on the weekends playing rock shows and, you know, drinking too much, and who knows, there was a lot of things. We definitely were not really living our faith. But after we got married, so we got married in 2009, and after we got married, that was kind of when we started, everything sort of started falling apart. We made the decision to use contraception, and I was on the birth control pill. I started taking that when we got married, and slowly I started to see things happening that weren't making sense to me. I had a lot of symptoms. I started getting migraines, but I didn't know it was a migraine. The first time it happened, I woke up in the middle of the night with this weight, like 1,000 pounds on my chest. And that was so scary. I thought I was having a stroke, and I woke my husband up, and I'm like, something's wrong. I don't know what's going on. And I scared him to death, and he was like, what's going on? And I said, my arm is really numb all the way. My left arm was numb. I had this horrible weight on my chest. And pretty soon it went to my face, and then I couldn't talk, and then I couldn't form thoughts. And that's when we were calling my parents in Ohio and saying, like, what do we do? And so we ran to the emergency room and got there, and I didn't know what was going on. I really thought I was in seriously bad shape, with a stroke or something. And they were doing all these tests, and, you know, I'm strapped to all these things and running tests. And then there was a point where I was able to go to the restroom. And I remember being in the restroom, just begging God for my life. I was just literally saying, God, please don't let me die. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, I have to be a mom. And I knew that that's what I needed to do. And it was crazy, because that was the thing I was trying to stop, because I thought success, career, you know, I got to do these things. We loved kids. We always loved kids. We had a lot of nieces and nephews. We're both the youngest in our family. So we had, you know, older siblings that had children already, and we loved kids. We loved our nieces and nephews. But we were thinking, we can't do this with that. We can't have kids and do this career and follow this path. So that was crazy that was the first thing that I thought. And I got out of there and they said, it's a migraine with an aura and you're fine and take this medicine and go home. We're like, okay. So it came back again. I had it again. I was seeing all these doctors, neurologists, people just trying to see what's going on. And I brought up the pill every time and they're like, no, it's not that. They're like, absolutely not. Pretty soon I developed horrible anxiety, which I'd never had in my life. I was always a happy, you know, kind of person. Never had problems with that. And it was just paralyzing. And I remember at that point, I could not work on music. I could not listen to music. I could not even think of it. I was panicking every day. And I just wanted to go home. And I didn't know what to do. So my husband and I went home for a visit. And I went to another doctor. And I said the same thing. They gave me a test. They said, yeah, you have severe anxiety. And I said, okay. I'm like, well, it's got to be. This is the only thing I've done differently. And they said, no, it's not that. Just keep taking that. And we're going to give you anti-anxiety medication. I was like, oh my gosh. At that point, I had had enough. And I made the connection. I was reading online. All these women had the same experience that I was having because they were on the pill. And so here I am going through this suffering. And I remember being back in LA and we were watching TV, just flipping through the channels, and it was crazy. It was actually EWTN that we flipped onto, and it was Women of Grace. And they were talking about the birth control pill and how it can cause you to unintentionally abort a child.
Wow.
And we'd always been very pro-life. So that hit me really hard. And it was like the exact message I needed to hear at the exact right time. So we made the choice and I made the choice. Like, this is it. We threw away all the pills. I'm done with this poison. And at that point, we also started reading about, and I discovered Our Lady of Fatima, which I had never known about Our Lady of Fatima.
Wow.
And my husband did, because he had a traveling statue that would come to his house and they'd all pray the rosary when he was a kid. And it was Our Lady of Fatima. And I started reading this and I'm like, oh my goodness, we did not know where to start. We were these sort of cafeteria Catholics, just sort of picking what we wanted and living how we wanted, but, you know, saying we were Catholic. And so we started with the rosary and we started praying the rosary every day together. And we had to have a pamphlet because we didn't know how to pray it. So looking back, you know, Our Lady really reached out and just touched our hearts. And through praying the rosary, through digging deep into the church's teachings on marriage, on what the plan is, God's plan for marriage, not our own plan, not what we make up, but being open to life and all that, the beautiful theology of the body, going into all of that, we came back and we were like, we have to go to confession and we have to get all of this out and we have to start over. And so we did. And it had been years. And I remember afterwards, we felt so, just like brand new. And we went to get frozen yogurt afterwards. We're like, oh, this is so awesome. So it was a great moment.
Isn't it amazing when those chains get taken off that you have bound yourself up in? And it just started with little compromises that it's like, well, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Well, there's so many other worse things, you know, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. And then you start almost like working against your own spirit. You work against your own body. And I took birth control in high school. So it's like just those little compromises, and you're actually, it's poison. It literally is straight up poison. And you know it, you feel it, you justify it, or it can't be that. You keep saying it can't be that. Mm-hmm. When you're taking something to go against the way your body functions and works, and to stop something that God has given you to, and we work properly and perfectly, right? Mm-hmm. And when I was taking that birth control, I was depressed. I got anxiety, same thing. And there's something about it, but because you're going against your own spirit, it's like,
yes.
And you're sinning and you're taking poison in order to sin more. You know, it doesn't make sense, honestly, if you step back and you think about it. But I understand women are fearful and there's a desperation there. And how can I handle another one? Or how am I going to do this? And almost like, well, I can do it later,
right? That later of I can have children later, first my career, and then I'll settle into that, right? But I've got to like kickstart this. I've got to do this or I'm going to miss out. And you have this fear like you're going to miss out. You're not going to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. But at the end of the day, if we are right ordered, that it's not about what we want to accomplish. It's what God needs to accomplish through us. Yes. And our mission. And when that becomes distorted and disordered and out of order, your whole life slowly disintegrates and you're just not that same person anymore. And you're not happy because the God-given gifts, wouldn't you say that when you start going against yourself like that, slowly those God-given gifts just dissipate. And just like with your music, you weren't even able to function and do that God-given, unbelievable gift. And the devil wanted to suffocate it, right? And kill it. And it was working. It was working in your life. And that is so scary because look at how you are flourishing and your gifts are just like helping so many people and they're life-giving. That's the beauty. Your music and what you're doing is life-giving to the soul, and it brings people closer to God in that beautiful way that if you didn't kind of just right order yourself and listen when God brought you to your knees, because God brings everybody to their knees and they're not listening. I have experienced it several times. I was so stubborn. It happened to have several times it happened to me. But at the same time, if you do just do what God asks, it's unbelievable, the mercy and the love. And it's not like you're reprimanded or you're punished or you have to make up or there's all these expectations God puts on you from turning your back on him. And I think people think that, but there isn't. There really is just this love, this mercy that is waiting for them. But I think it's hard for them to maybe believe it because they've gone so far.
I really feel that because, I feel like that whole rejecting of God that we were doing, like you said, it impacted health, it impacted our marriage. But the thing that really does stick with me is that it was like a physical thing, but it was also my soul, our souls that were affected. You know, that great, that choice of rejecting God, that big choice of like, no, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it my way. And, you know, you can be in my life in these areas, but not this area, you know, and that rejecting of God, like really, it was a soul, injury. I don't know how you would say that.
Spiritually. Yeah. Yes, spiritually, you were hurting yourself. Absolutely. I've experienced that. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm. When you're holding so tightly onto something that you know deep down is hurting you, or you know something's off, or you're going against what God is asking you to do. If you look around of the fruits of holding on to that thing that you know you should not have, what are you gaining out of it? Mm-hmm. Like what? Why hold so tightly onto something that you know is hurting you, is slowly bringing rot into your life? It's cutting you off from God. It may be slowly be even cutting you off from your loved ones around you. And why hold on? Because how on earth are you benefiting from holding on to that thing? Mm-hmm. Right? And if you really step back and take a sobering look at that, it changes things. But it's hard to do that because we're in denial and we don't want to own up and kind of embrace, okay, I have done this thing and it is not right. It's not okay. And it has hurt people around me and I've hurt myself. That's a hard thing to come to grips with and to face. And I didn't want to in my past either. But by doing that, that's where the freedom comes in.
Yeah, I absolutely see that. And it's funny stepping back and like looking at it, like everything... every choice you make can lead you toward God or away from God. And we, you know, like you said, it starts small and then it grows. And then before you know it, you're in trouble. And I love that Fulton Sheen quote. Sometimes the only way the good Lord can get into some hearts is to break them. And I think that's what we needed. We needed a broken heart to really see that we were so far off of his plan and what he wanted for us. It's funny that you talked about holding on to that sin or that, even though it was hurting, holding on to it. There was a song I was writing back then called Shelter. And I was in this deep, you know, depression, anxiety time. And I had started writing the song, but I couldn't finish it. And the beginning of the song was, the first line was, "There is a sadness in my bones and I cannot let go of the sadness." And that's kind of like what you're saying. Like, I couldn't let go of it, but I didn't know why. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I was just so confused. And months later, after coming off the pill and after starting to change our lives and you know, coming back to God, I was able to, we were down in Nashville, we were doing a writing session, and we were able to finally finish that song that I had started months ago, because I know I couldn't finish it. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. It was just darkness. And then the bridge of the song is, "You showed me how to knock it down, the mountain standing in front of me. You showed me how to crawl back out of who I didn't want to be." And it's like, and then just that, you know, that God is there, and then shelter me from the cold, starless night, shelter me from the ghosts in my mind. I feel alive when I'm in your arms. You set me free, shelter me. So that was the end. Like, the song came together because I finally had the light again. I finally had God, and I finally knew who was going to rescue me from this distress that I was in. And it was amazing to be able to actually physically see that, like, happen in a real way in a song that we weren't able to finish until we actually stopped the sin, stopped the sinning, stopped the evil that was going on.
And you came out the other side, right? Mm-hmm, and you were saying those words, and that brought tears to my eyes. I don't know about you, listeners, that brought tears, because I've experienced that, and I know, and it just spoke to my heart, because it's so true. And so often we hold on to things when God wants us to have so much more in our lives. Okay, we are going to take a quick break, but we will be right back, and we are going to go to our friends over at EWTN. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining us. And for those of you just tuning in, I am here with Kira Andrea, and we are talking about Mercy Divine Ministry and music she is from, and just her life story, which is absolutely beautiful. And for those of you just tuning in, can you just give us a quick recap of what we've been talking about and a little bit of your story?
Sure. So, grew up a cradle Catholic, my husband as well, met in grade school, ended up taking music very seriously, and it took us all the way out to Los Angeles. We moved there from Ohio and were working to make it in the industry. Had a big reversion when I realized that using the birth control pill was actually really hurting me and my husband, our marriage, and it caused a lot of bad symptoms. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. And got off of that, had that big reversion back, thanks to Mama Mary. And then we were on this new journey. So we, at that point, we were still doing music. We were in Los Angeles still. One of the last things that happened before we came home was we were on America's Got Talent, which is kind of nuts.
Wow.
It was crazy. A wild ride, I would say. It was fun. We made it to the top 48, the live rounds. So we got to compete on the live rounds. And it was actually just a lot of stress, though. But it was crazy. Just being on a TV show is nuts. But
like, that's something that's really amazing. In the world's eyes, it's like, oh, my gosh, you were what? You know, but deep down, did you hear those little whispers? In the middle of all of that, which is unbelievable, right? And there's a lot going on. Did you still hear those small, still whispers of God in your heart?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We definitely, it was sort of like you start to see behind the curtain, I guess, of the whole industry, like everything. It's very planned out. Everything's very, I guess, pre-planned. And if you're not part of it, like, it's not going to happen for you. And it was sort of was a kind of like a little wake up call too, of, you know, this is one thing and it's maybe not for us. Like, you know, I don't know. It just sort of made us realize, like, what is the point of what we're doing and why are we doing it? And little by little in our music, those whispers, you know, that you're talking about, like, our music started to become more and more and more about our faith and in a secular way. So our last album was called The Day the Light Went Out. The last one we did with our band, The Strange Familiar, that was before all this Mercy Divine stuff started. But The Day the Light Went Out was, the song itself was about, based on the Passion of the Christ. So it was the book, The Dolorous Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ by Blessed Anne Emmerich. So the song like uses lines that she talks about in her descriptions of the Passion, and which I guess the movie was partly based on what she wrote and stuff. So her visions, and it was just crazy how that was in that song. Like, and people wouldn't necessarily know because it wasn't like blatantly Christian, but a lot of themes like made it into that last album, songs about abortion, which you may not know, but like that, it, you know, it's, it wasn't obvious. Nothing was obvious, but it definitely made it in there. So yeah, so God was speaking to us and leading us down a path that was not anything that we had planned. We moved home as we were recording our last album out there in LA, and it was so funny. We moved home. As we were moving home, we got a call from a label in New York, and they were an indie label, and we signed with them as we were coming home. So it was kind of crazy. It was like, we lived out here all this time, 5 or 6 years, and we never ended up getting signed out here. We had some good things happen, but as we're leaving, we get signed with a label in New York. So it was funny. So that happened. And then
that was after Confession, and you had all these realizations, right?
Yes. This was after like starting this reversion process, which I'm realizing was a process and still is a process. It's not, it definitely wasn't like a one-time thing. It was just sort of like, oh, we started diving into our faith. We started embracing the real, you know, the teachings of the church on marriage. And as we were making that journey home, we started realizing we were still afraid to have children. So here we are, we're signed to this new label, and we're thinking like, okay, well, we're not going to ever do what we were doing before. We're going to follow God's plan. We're going to do what he says. But at the same time, like, we were still scared. Like, what if we do become pregnant? Like, what if we you know, how can we do this and do that together?
See, the devil always comes back after you break free. Okay. I'm going to warn all of you. For those of you that are like, oh my gosh, I need to get to confession. And I say this every Saturday. So here I go, everyone. It is Saturday and there is confession everywhere. Typically in most Catholic churches around the country where you can go to confession this afternoon. And I always say there is nothing more important than being right with God. And you can go and you can do that, and his mercy waits for you today. But the warning here is, after you really give yourself over, and you don't go and do those half-hearted confessions. We're talking real deal confession here, right? And really embracing what God wants you to do in your life. The devil will come back in such subtle ways and try to pull you back in, because he knows you're still kind of weak. He knows where that chink is in your armor, and he will come directly for that and see if he can get you to slowly fall again. Right.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. We started diving in when we came home to our faith even more. Like, so we found a random miraculous medal in my husband's sock drawer or something. And I read about the miraculous medal. I'm like, oh, we have to wear these. So we started putting those on. So armor was necessary. Mm-hmm. You're starting to put on some armor. And the rosary and the Divine Mercy chaplet, which we also have a big devotion to Divine Mercy. So that's hence Mercy Divine. We were praying more than ever. We were attending daily mass. We were watching EWTN all the time. To be honest, my husband's so funny. He's like, real men watch Women of Grace. And I'm like, laughing. He's so funny.
You hear that, Jeanette? Real men watch Women of Grace. That's great, because priests and men do tune in to Women Made New, you know,
there you go.
And they just want that woman's perspective. And that's not a bad, that's a great thing.
That's right. Absolutely. So we were attending daily mass. And at that point, we were really just trying to be as into the faith as we could and learn as much as we could. So it was that time when I was at mass, and one day my husband's, like, at the consecration, my husband's sister's name popped in my head, and I'm like, what's this about? I'm like, okay, I'll pray for Megan. So I did. And right after that mass, we found out that she was pregnant, and we had known she was pregnant, but we found out there was a tumor on her baby. And so we started just diving into prayer for her because it was a very risky situation. And before we knew it, we were up in Philadelphia at the Children's Hospital where she was, and they had to do an operation to try to save the baby, where in utero they removed the tumor. And we had just learned about St. Jana at that point. This was my husband's sister's fourth child, and St. Jana's fourth child obviously was her daughter that she gave her life for. So we were like storming heaven. I mean, I think it was the hardest we've ever prayed in our lives, just for someone else's suffering, like, and just to enter into their suffering was, I don't know. It was definitely like the closest I've ever felt, I think, to God was during those times. 'Cause it was adoration all the time. It was rosaries all the time. It was just because we didn't have kids yet. We were, you know, free to do that. And so in Philadelphia, they did the surgery, but the baby had to be delivered at 22 weeks. And
wow.
We got to meet her, and she just looked perfect. And she was so beautiful. Ava Gianna, they named her. So, and we were there, and we were witnessing them going through this trial by fire, you know. And they, at one point, they were just, you know, so worried for their baby, and they just wanted her to live so bad. And they were looking at us, and we were praying. We even got them to pray the rosary with us. And there was one point where her husband was like, "So when are you guys going to have kids?" Right in the middle of that, all this suffering. And that's what they're thinking about. He's like, you know, there's nothing better, you know? And so that hit so hard. I realized, like, what are we doing? You know, why are we afraid of this? Because love is suffering, you know, and to love is to suffer. They go hand in hand. So they, we prayed so hard. They brought the relic of St. John was brought to the baby. She was baptized by a sister from Immaculate Heart of Mary in Pennsylvania, or not Pennsylvania, I'm sorry. yeah, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. And then we are from the parish Immaculate Heart of Mary here in the Falls, so we thought that was a cool coincidence. And so we drove home, and then we were praying so hard and praying the rosary for her, and we were outside. We went to my husband's grandpa's gravesite and his aunt, who had passed away years and years ago. And we were praying there, and it started to rain, and we were just crying out to God, just begging for the life of this child. And this double rainbow just appeared, like, right above us. And we were like, it just hit so hard. We were like, okay, God is letting us know he's in control of this situation, not us. And you can't control it. It's all in his hands. And the baby ended up passing away, but, they were about a year later, they're blessed with another child. And we believe Ava's in heaven because she's baptized and she's a little baby. And aww. I think that's that beautiful miracle, you know, yes. They have a saint, you know, in heaven. So, yeah. And it's crazy because after that, for us as well, about a year later, we had our first child, a daughter. And,
when you found out you were pregnant, were you happy? Were you scared, hesitant? I know I've experienced all emotions. Let's be honest. I have 11. I have experienced every emotion I think you could have by three in heaven. But what was that like for you?
It was scary. I was scared. I was excited. I was, you know, but it was so funny because the culture makes you so, you're so inundated in this message of fear of children. Mm-hmm. And I think it's even more so today, like, than back then. And I was just so confused. And I remember driving in the car and hearing, for the first time hearing, "Lord, I Need You" come on the radio. And I just was bawling because I didn't know how to handle this. How do I be a good mom? How do I do this? How do I balance everything? And I remember I was even afraid to tell my mom that I was pregnant. How silly is that? Like she'd be mad at me or something. I'm like, what? Wow. And she's like, "Kira," she's like, "that's the best thing in the world." And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. It is. So it took a minute, but we were happy and afraid all at the same time. And we actually wrote a song about it called Rain because our daughter's name is Rain. And we were going to name our baby Rain if it was a boy or a girl. And so, we wrote the song, and it's basically like just every emotion and thought that ever went through our minds, you know, wanting to be the best parents we could. And just praying that we could be what God was calling us to be for this child. And she is such a blessing, I have to say. And then all our kids, like we have three, but they're just amazing. I was like, what were we so afraid of? This is the best thing ever, you know?
Wow.
Doesn't get any better than that.
So what is your ministry and just kind of your day in, day out life kind of look like now with your music and what you're doing?
So we, when we switched gears and we started playing for Mass, that was the first thing we were asked to play for, a Mass for like a youth Mass in our local parish. And we kind of took a little time off when we had kids. We just said, you know what, let's just be parents. Like, and that wasn't like we failed. It was more like, this is what we want to do. I want to dive into just being a mom right now.
It's a season. They're all seasons, right? Yes. And that was the right thing to do. And that's, I'm sure, what God wanted you to do, because there's just this time where you need to be with your kids with no distractions and just embrace and grow in that gift of motherhood that God gives you. Because it's not easy. It's not. But
no.
When you do it, God really does bless that and bless that time. And I feel like in that time, your gifts are growing without you even knowing. So if he does call you back to ministry, he does call you back to go to your music as he did, it's so much stronger and fine-tuned because of what you went through and you gave everything to him.
Yeah. And we learned that. We learned the surrender that was necessary because when I had my first Rain, when I had Rain, everything was fine at first, but then I ended up in the ICU very quickly afterwards. There was I went through an operation basically that resulted in a massive infection and an abscess, huge abscess so they didn't know if I was going to make it. It was one of those. And I literally went from like totally fine to so sick within like a second, I feel like.
Wow.
And, so we were there within that moment of suffering, and just, there was one point in the hospital in the ICU where, a priest came in to visit, and we had no answers. We had no idea what was going to happen. He came in and he brought the Eucharist to me, and I will never forget that moment as long as I live. It was like this light came into the room, and it was like, this is Jesus and he's here. And I got to receive him. And there was this peace after that. Like, we didn't know if I was going to make it or not, but there was that surrender, that peace, that whatever it is in God's hands, you know, that moment. And shortly after that, they were able to find the right antibiotic, and I was able to heal very slowly. It took a long time, but I just wanted to be with my baby, and I just wanted to be home and with my family. And God put us through that for whatever reason, but it definitely showed us that we needed to just trust him, surrender everything to him, like you said, and just be so grateful for the gift of life and the ability to be there for our children and to have children. And so I guess, sorry, this is not answering your question at all, but
no, it's beautiful. It's fine.
Our ministry really developed out of all of that and that surrender, that allowing like God to take the wheel, I guess. So someone asked us to play for Mass, and we did. We took it on. We started leading Mass, the music for Mass, and did that for 9 years at the same place. And then we've just moved to a new parish just now, but we're still doing it and loving it. And that's kind of where Mercy Divine came from. We started writing psalms. I think we've written over 150 psalms, a lot of hymns for communion, things like that. And then really diving back into tradition more and more, we found that we really love tradition. And so, yeah, that's where it kind of came from. And then just seeing it flourish in a way online in the social media world where, like, I never expected that to happen. It was definitely not even a plan. It was just, oh, let me put this somewhere, you know, and let me do something with this. And then it just goes to show that, you know, God's hand in something can really change everything. So, yeah, we just feel really blessed. Our first CD, our first EP was dedicated to Mary, consecrated to Mary. And it's all songs for Mary. Like, I set the Memorare to music and the Hail Holy Queen, and I just wanted to honor Our Lady, because I know that without Our Lady, I don't know where we would be. So that's where it all started. Our CD is called The Queen Stands, because I love this. I learned this from, I heard this talk from Father Ripperger. He was saying that Our Lady's moment of greatest, what was it? Glory. I think, was it glory? Oh my gosh. Now I'm messing it up. Oh my goodness.
That's okay. I do it too all the time and I'm on radio. So you don't have to worry about it at all. You kind of go blank. It's fine. Where can people find, if they want to listen to your music and know more about your ministry and everything that you're doing, where can they find you?
Okay, so you guys can find me on Instagram. Our page is Mercy Divine Music. Everything's Mercy Divine Music at Mercy Divine Music. So Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, we're on all those. So, and then we have a website, mercydivinemusic.com. So
beautiful.
Easy.
And if there is one thing that you could say to people out there that may be struggling or having a hard time or kind of are on the other side of where you were at, what would you say to them? What advice could you give them?
I would say that if you can leave the door of your heart open just a little bit, God will do the rest. If you have your heart open just a little bit, He will break that door wide open and He will show you His love and mercy and He will bring you to Him. And I think if you can also at the same time, just embrace Our Lady. She's not going to let you falter. She's going to bring you to Jesus every time.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. Well, thank you for being here. God bless you in everything that you do and know of our prayers.
Oh, thank you so much.
I want to thank my guest again, Kira Andrea, for being here. And I wanted to close today's show a bit differently and get a taste of her beautiful voice and her music. So we are going to actually close today's show with a prayer of her singing the Memorare. Have a great weekend, everyone. God bless.
Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection implored thy help beside thine intercessions left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to thee. My mother, to thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions.